Good morning. Now we can beat that, can't we? Good morning. Good to see each one in God's house today. And I trust that we've come today to receive a blessing from the Lord. We join Brother Ron in welcoming each one to our service today. It's good to see visitors in our service today. It's good to see Brother Bob and Sister Mavis, the friends of Francis and ours from Moulton. That's a pretty good ways to come this morning, isn't it? But we're glad to see them in God's house today. And just anyone visiting with us today, we're just thankful to have them and thankful to see the people at Burnout in God's house today. I say that we appreciate those who came to revival services at New Union last week. It was just good to see the good crowd from Burnout there on Wednesday night. And so we're so thankful to be encouraged by your support and prayers for our behalf. And we're just thankful that we could worship together in God's house. We've had blessings this past week, as Brother Ronald has said, concerning the birth of Luke. And so we're thankful for that. And it's good to see Sister Kim. And did we call him Matt? Is that his, what's his little word? We're going to have to get him a little word that we call him and that name. But good to see them in God's house today. You know, thinking that we're having these babies born, it'd be good to have a, kind of as we did in one church, a kind of a baby dedication where that we give them a prayer and give them a Bible and a little certificate, a challenge and a charge to the mamas and dads and grandpas and grandmas, and it's just a good little service. So we'll have to think about having one or two of those here in the recent days that come before us. Have your Bibles this morning. I invite you to open with me the book of Ephesians chapter 3. But as you're turning there, we're going to be speaking today on one of the most important subjects that I believe that we find today, and that is the word prayer. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, and he said in verse 1, that he spake a parable unto his disciples, and he said, men always ought to pray and not to faint. And prayer is such an important part of our lives, isn't it? I hope that you prayed this morning before you came to the service today, that you talked to God. And I realize and know that, no doubt, that you've talked to God through the word of prayer this week. But Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the cause that Paul is speaking about as he talks about and how that God through the mystery of the church was revealed and how that the church was God's building, how that she was going to share the word to a lost and dying world. But he thanks God for the church. Then he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. In the book of Ephesians, as we note here, we have in Ephesians chapter 3 what is known as prison praying. In other words, Paul's prison prayers. Because Paul is in prison, he is chained, has chains upon him, both arms and feet, and even a Roman guard stands near by his side to guard him. But you know, through all of that, they could not keep Paul from praying. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? That they, with all those things around him and upon him, could not keep him from praying. Now, in chapter 1, we find the first prayer of Paul in the book of Ephesians. It is a prayer for enlightenment. If you want to turn back there, just very quick and look at verse 16. He said that, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And Paul writes to them and says, I would to God that you know who you are. And who you are was part of the family of God, children of God, possessing the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's important this morning to know who we are, isn't it? That we are God's children. And that we are a part of the family of God. But here in chapter 3, Paul writes to them that they be endued. That is, that there be an endowment or enablement of the power of God upon their lives. That is, God's strength be in their lives. You know, today we need enablement of God for the assignments that God gives us in this life. God has many assignments in our lives. I was thinking today that for some it's the assignment of preaching His Word, teaching His Word for some of others. But you know, there are many other assignments that God gives us in life. There you go to work tomorrow. That is your assignment. And you need strength for that assignment, don't you? You need the strength of God for the assignment of what He has given you to do in this life. Today we may not think of it very much, but I think one of the greatest assignments that's being put on people today is the assignment of caregiving. That's a great assignment, isn't it? For people that may have loved ones, and they are given the assignment to take care of those loved ones. And you know, we have to have the strength of God to enable us to take care of that assignment. It may be thought of today as just a little assignment. But folks, it's a great assignment, isn't it, in this life that one comes to that point in his or her life. Now, as you look at this prayer this morning that I have read to you, it's a prayer concerning circumstance. And I want you to note this morning that Paul is, you might say, under great circumstances. Here he is in prison. Here he is chained, both arms and even feet. And here a guard is placed by him. You may say this morning that Brother Danny, he is under great circumstances. And you know, I think, and as we look at this, many times only people pray when they're under circumstances. Difficult circumstances come to their lives. And they find a need of praying. And certainly we pray when these circumstances befall us. But as you look at this text this morning, Paul rose from under those circumstances. How did he do it? Through his prayer life. Through praying to God, he rose from under those circumstances to over those circumstances in his life. And folk, he literally went to heavenly places in his prayer life. That's what you see in this prayer this morning. How that we can be faced with circumstances in our lives, seemingly no way to get out of those circumstances. There is no light at the end of the tunnel, but we can arise above those circumstances through prayer to God in our lives. You know, there's something that you see in this text this morning. Prayer cannot be bound. That's something that we need to understand. You cannot bind the prayer of a Christian. Now, several years ago, our government passed a law that said that, you know, we can no longer pray in public places. And I think one of the great tragedies of America was when they took public prayer out of school. I think you would agree with me today that when they did that, this country began to go down in her moral integrity and yea, many things about her. But you know, there's something that they couldn't do. They may have made a law that says you cannot pray publicly, but aren't you glad that there was a Second Amendment where that young people and teachers and, yea, citizens can go to the flagpole and pray? Amen? That we can go there and pray. And here we find Paul's prayers was not bound. The Bible teaches us that the Word of God is not bound neither. You cannot bind the Word of God. You cannot imprison it. And as we look at this statement this morning, as Paul prays a wonderful prayer of grace, and as you look at this prayer this morning, I want to note some things concerning this prayer. Now, I want to say this morning, and I know you realize that this is something every one of us can do in our lives this morning, and that is prayer. Every one of us can pray, from the youngest to the oldest, lost or saved. We're going to see that prayer is something that all of us can do. And I want you to note, first of all, with me this morning, as we travel through these Scriptures, look at verse 14. Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Note the humility of his prayer. The Bible says, literally, he went to his knees as he prayed before his Heavenly Father. And as you look at that little statement there, you find the posture or the position that Paul goes to the Lord in prayer. In this case, he bows his knee. Now, I want to say this morning that prayer can be prayed when standing or kneeling. It does not matter necessarily today of the posture physically we take in prayer, because you can pray this morning sitting where you are in that pew today. You can pray while driving down the road. Amen? And probably you need to pray as you drive down the roads that we travel today, especially in the different parts of Red Bay where they have rerouted the places. You probably need to be praying as you drive down those roads. I've often, in one of the places that I don't desire to drive in much, is Birmingham. And you know what? We certainly need to be praying as traffic zips out and in as we travel those roads. But I'm just trying to show with you this morning that our physical position is not necessarily as God looks at and God sees prayer. I mean, this morning, as you think of it, Abraham Lincoln made the statement, "I was driven to my knees when I was made aware of the fact that I have nowhere else to go but unto God." And as we look today, I think that Abraham prayed while he was standing. I think of Daniel's prayer, and he knelt to God, opened his window, and prayed unto the Lord. So we look at the posture physically. But I want to say this morning, it's the posture inwardly that God is looking at. It is what God is looking at our hearts. And if you'll turn to Psalm 145, you'll find the correct position in our hearts that we should be praying this morning. It's a wonderful little statement. "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him look in truth." There's the integrity and the sincerity of our hearts. But look at the next thing that he says. He says, "He will fulfill the desire of those that do what? Of those that fear Him. He is nigh to them of a broken heart and a contrite spirit." So this morning, God is looking at the posture in our hearts as we pray. I go back to the book of Luke 18 when Jesus taught on prayer. And you remember He gives an illustration of two men who prayed. Two men who went up into the temple to pray. Look at that first man in Luke 18 and around verse 10. It says that this man who was a Pharisee went up into that temple to pray. And he prayed, "God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, or adulterers, or even as this publican that has come here with me today. How that he prayed, how he fasted twice a week, gave tithes of all that he possessed. Look what he thought within himself in his heart. My, I'm such a high man. My, I'm such a great man. What does that show in his heart, in his life? That he prayed while standing in his heart. He prayed with pride. And folk, I want to tell you something. That prayer didn't get as far as the ceiling. You say, Brother Danny, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells us that this publican, standing afar off, would not much so lift up his eyes unto heaven. But he smote on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, I want to show you why I said that the first man's prayer didn't get as far as the ceiling. Jesus said, I'll tell you, they that exalt themselves shall be what? They shall be abased. They shall be brought low. But he that humble himself shall be what? They shall be lifted up. They shall be exalted. Here we find the posture that is correct in prayer in our hearts. That the publican prayed humbly as he found the right position. I give the little story again of the young man or the little boy that would not sit down on the pew. His mother asked him to sit down. He would not. She asked him again to sit down. He would not. So she just reached and took him and plotted him down on the pew and sat down. And the little boy looked up at her and said, Mother, I may be sitting, but I want you to know I'm standing in my heart. I find that's a problem in our lives today. Amen? We come to God's house, yea, we're sitting, but what in our hearts? We're standing. And I wonder how many of our prayers get even to the front of the building, much less go through the roof. My, today, the posture. Does we sit as we've looked at the book of Samuel? And what does the Bible say? God readeth the hearts of mankind. God is not looking at our physical attire. God is not looking at our theological words that we can even say. God is looking at our heart. And the desire and the position in our hearts as we come to Him. So here we find Paul. He may be in chains, but what does he do? He says, I bow my knees. Now looking at the person he is addressing. He says, I bow my knees to who? To the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he saying? I say again, he's coming from those circumstances. Rising above those circumstances, and he's ascending where? Into heaven itself. And he says, I've come before the person. I've come before my Heavenly Father. Now today, folks, listen. It's wonderful this morning to be a part of the family of God. Because if you'll look in verse 15, it says this. Of whom the whole family, what? Of God in heaven and earth His name. Isn't that wonderful? He's saying, listen, I'm coming before the Father. I'm coming before the saints of God. What a privilege it is to be able to do that. You know, in the mall prayer, what did the Bible tell us Jesus said to pray? Our Father, what which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My, again, how humble he is as he comes in that position in his heart. But I want you to note the location there this morning. What did he say? Of whom the whole family of God, where? In heaven. That includes the saints of God that are there. And he says, in earth. That's the saints of God that are living. He says, those two locations. You know, to me, that's very interesting. I look at those two locations, and nowhere does it say, under the earth. There are only two locations. Folk, I'll tell you what. Isn't it wonderful to know that you're saved and know that you're secure today? Because there's no saint of God under the earth. Remember what Jesus said through Paul in Philippians 2 in verse 5 or verse 10? He said this, every knee should bow. Now look,
at the three locations. Of things that are in heaven, and are things that in earth, and now the third location, things under the earth. Where is that? Hell itself. But folk, I want to tell you, you find no member of the family of God under the earth. They're in earth or they're in heaven this morning. And I pray this morning that you're part of the family of God, that you have received Christ as your personal Savior. I want to say this before leaving this morning. If you're here unsaved, if you're here lost, your greatest need is Jesus. Your greatest need is Christ. And as I say that statement this morning, I ask you a question. Prayer is important in your life in becoming a Christian. It's important. As a matter of fact, I want to say, as I said last week, in revival, you're not going to be saved unless you ask God to forgive you. And folk, that's through prayer. I go again to that statement in Luke 18:13. That is the sinner's prayer. That is a prayer that you must pray. And that prayer is what? The publican stood and said what? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the prayer that you must pray in order to be saved. And I pray, God, this morning, that if you're sitting in this building, that you have prayed that prayer, that you've asked God into your heart and for God to forgive you and have trusted Him as He works in your life today. That's between you and God. That's between you and God. I know the day, I know the moment that I asked God to forgive me, that I prayed that prayer in my life. It wasn't in a church house. It wasn't in those places religiously. It was on my bed as I asked God to forgive me, and I prayed that prayer. My, this morning, it was a prayer of humility. God brought us down from the top, and He put us at the bottom, that we might see Christ, who He is, and ask Him to forgive us. My, today, it's important to pray, isn't it? And if you're here lost again, I want to say again, it's not you putting your name on a church roll. It's not you going through a religious ritual. It's you inviting Christ in your heart through prayer to receive Him. That's very important. I just think, as I thought this morning, as I was sitting one Sunday on a front pew waiting for people to come in from Sunday school, and as they came in from Sunday school, there was a little girl that came and sat by me. Her name was Gabby. And she came and sat down beside me. She said, "Brother Danny, you know what I've done this week? You know what's happened to me?" And I said, "Gabby, no, I don't." And she said, "Brother Danny, I asked God to forgive me and to come into my heart." I'll tell you something, folk. God hears prayers when we're sincere and when we ask Him to come into our hearts. So this morning, there was a humility of prayer. But very quickly, I want you to note this morning the heart of this prayer. The heart of this prayer. And it's found in verses 16 and 19. And it begins four things that He talks about that. And He mentions that. And they're very important. Look at verse 16. He says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. There was a prayer for endowment. And He was praying for those saints. And what did He say? That your inner man be strengthened. This old outer man, this body, it perishes, doesn't it? Day by day, it's perishing. But oh, today, folk, we've got an inner man. And that's where Christ lives. And I'll tell you what, it needs to be strengthened daily in our lives. And Paul's saying, "I am praying that you might have endowment, that you might have strength in the inner man." Do you ever get discouraged? You need what? You need strength in the inner man. So many things that Paul tells us. And he says, I am praying that your inner man be strengthened. There is a ministry to this outer man. When it is sick, we take it to the doctor. They put it in the hospital many times because this outer man, it needs strength. and the doctor so forth minister to that need. But this morning, folk, listen, it's the inner man. It's the inner man that needs strength also. I'll never will forget a lady. She was dying with cancer. And as I visited her, she said, "Brother Danny," she said, "listen, I have physical, but Brother Danny, I have the inner man. And Brother Danny, it needs to be strengthened. I need strength." And you know, we can just pause and pray for God to give us strength in the inner man. And then he moves on, and what does he say? Look at verse 17. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He's saying a prayer for enthronement. Not that Christ would come into their heart, but what? That Christ would dwell. And that word means feel at home. Oftentimes we go and we visit a friend, and one of the statements they make to us, "Now just feel at home." You ever heard that statement? Just make yourself at home. I want you to feel comfortable here. And what is Christ, Paul saying? He's saying, listen, make Christ feel at home in your heart. Mind, not only that He'll have a position, that He'll have a priority, that He'll have preeminence in your heart. Then He moves on very quickly. And listen what He says. He says that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend or to lay hold upon with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge. My, what a prayer for enlightenment. I want you to know these things. He talks about a farm term. He says rooted, that your life might be rooted in the soil of God's love for nourishment. He says built. What does he mean? That the foundation of your life is in love. Folk, get to thinking about the dimension of God's love. How can we even describe it this morning? When you think about the breadth of God's love, it talks about the direction. And the Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him that should not perish, but have everlasting life. It goes to the north, the south, the east, to the west. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. How can we begin to fathom the breadth of God's love? God's love moves beyond our little circle of friends. God's love moves to all men today. And that is the breadth of His love. When you think this morning about the length, you think about the distance of God's love. And the distance of God's love is from eternity to eternity. The distance of God's love is that God sent His Son in this world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's the distance of God's love, that He sent His Son into this world for us. You get to thinking about the depths of God's love. How far does God reach? My, listen this morning, it reaches to the lowest depths of human sin. You look at depravity today, and it's great, but God's love is able to reach down and to save and pick up. We sang that song, "Love Lifted Me." There is no place where God's love cannot go and lift a sinner from his sins and lift them and make a saint of God out of them. That's why we're here today, sharing God's love and sharing the depths of God's love and what it can do. You look at the height of God's love. That's the destiny that it carries us where? It carries us all the way to heaven. Someone has said breadth includes us. Length is He sends Jesus to save us. Depth, He reaches down to you. Height, He wants you to lift you to heaven today. Folk, listen, the heart of His prayer. And you move on and you see something else. He says, listen, that you might be filled with the fullness of God, the fullness of the grace of God in your life. And then lastly, what does He say? Unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think. He just moves into the heaven, and again He gets from under those circumstances, from above those chains, moves from that guard, and moving into the presence of God, looks at His Father, and says, there is nothing that God is not able to do. And folk, I'll tell you, we've got a great God, haven't we? My, can you imagine when you enter into the prayer room of God, who you're coming to, and what He is able to do in our lives this morning.
My, he goes, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Prayer is something special, isn't it? Prayer is something that we hear talk much about today. But folks, you listen, it touches the heart of God. God wants to hear from us this morning. You say, Brother Danny, God knows all about me. He sure does. But He wants to hear from us this morning. If you're here this morning, and as I say again, if you're here not saved, God is near you this morning through His Spirit, through His Word. Folks, you listen. You're just a prayer away. You're just a prayer away from heaven today as you ask Him into your heart and to forgive you. And you know what? This morning, as God's people, we need prayer. Amen. I need prayer. You say, why, Brother Danny? For the assignments that God gives us in this life. And you know something? You say, Brother Danny, I'm able to handle it myself. Well, we're not that great yet, are we? We're not able to handle things ourselves. We need God in our lives. My, today, how long has it been since you've talked to the Lord? How long has it been since you've offered up prayer? Maybe for someone else. Maybe today just thanking Him for the blessings that He has blessed us with today. All today, folk, listen. To come into the presence of God is a wonderful thing. So this morning, think about this prayer that was so graceful and the circumstances he had, yet he was able to reach up to God and pray. I ask you to stand this morning. Father, I thank you for the privilege of prayer. Lord, today that we can come into the throne room under the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who possesses all things today. Lord, we may not be in the circumstances this morning of the Apostle Paul. We may not be bound with literal chains, and we may not have a guard that stands by our side. But Lord, there are circumstances in each of our lives that we face. And Lord, today sometimes we just seem to get out of those circumstances. That's all we see. But Lord, may we look at the Apostle Paul. That he looked unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, how he thanked Him for the things that He bestowed in His life spiritually. Lord, there may be here those this morning that, Lord, are facing circumstances in their lives. Lord, there are assignments that we have to do in our lives. Lord, I pray You that Your grace may be near and nigh in our lives. But Lord, that person here today that You've knocked on their heart's door through the Holy Spirit, Lord, may they realize that they're just a prayer away by confessing their sins to You and inviting You into their heart by faith to receive that promise that You made them. And Lord, may in this invitation You give them the grace and strength, Lord, to make known what they received in their heart. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen and amen.